This is The Record. I'm Ross Reynolds, in for Bill Radke all week. It's an 1,100-mile drive from Port Townsend up to Ketchikan, Alaska. You can shave 350 miles off the trip, but there is a catch. You have to sail. The Race to Alaska invites sailors to try it, but there's a condition. No motorized power allowed. Well, an eight-woman team called Sail Like a Girl just won that race, arriving at the destination in less than a week. This trip involved log collisions, recumbent bikes, sleep deprivation, among other things. Here to tell us more about it, Jean Gusev, Amy Fulwell, and Allison Ekberg Jvadlidze. I kind of got it, roughly. So first of all, how did each of you get involved in this team? Are you like experienced sailors?
This is Jean. I've been sailing for about 20 years, and this idea was concocted after a sailing race with Anna. Anna and Morgana and I were all sitting together after the race, and she asked if we would be interested in doing the Race to Alaska with an all-women's team.
Mm-hmm. And so you're pretty experienced. You've been doing it for 20 years.
Yeah, 20 years, and started in Boston and then came out here to the West Coast and have been racing. My husband and I have a boat together that we do quite a bit of sailing on.
And how about you, Amy, an experienced sailor?
No, not one bit. I've done tons of water sports, ranging from rowing to whitewater rafting to scuba diving to swimming to kayaking, but sailing's never been one of those things that I've done in the past, but it's something I've always wanted to do. And Jean had made mention of this conversation with Anna and Morgana one night, and I said, you know what? Even though I don't have the experience, I'm super driven, I'm super athletic, I take direction well, and I do things 150%. If you're interested in having someone like that in the crew, I want to be a part of it.
And how about you, Allison? What got you in?
Yeah, so I grew up on Bainbridge Island and was on the water most of my life, and I windsurfed and sailed as a kid, and then as an adult lived in places where that wasn't an option, and it's something that I always wanted to get back to. And, you know, having met Jean a few years ago, started sailing with Jean and her family, and just fell in love. I mean, was still in love with it. So again, jumped at the opportunity to do something with a group of women who were all driven and equally committed to the race.
Were you guys in it to win it, or it's like, let's just try this out. Let's just see. This will be a good thing to do regardless of how we do. Were you in it to win it?
We never set out on this race with the singular goal of coming in first place. For us, this was always about the journey. It was always about being out there together with a group of women and knowing that we pushed ourselves as hard as we could. We planned, and then we planned again, and then we checked our plan. And our goal was really to be out there in a deliberate way and have the boat as ready as it could be, have the crew as ready as it could be, and just experience the beautiful place that we live in together, and push ourselves, push our limits, find out what our limits are. Seek the warrior inside all of us. That was our goal.
And we're all pretty competitive. I mean, yeah. I make yoga competitive. I don't know about you guys.
Our teammate Kate always said, too, she wanted to be able to look back on the race and be able to say, the girls sailed that boat well. And it was, you know, that I think was a goal for us. And just the journey, not just what we did on the water, but it was a journey from finding the boat to the strategy all the way to the end of the race about who's on the crew, yeah. What are you taking with you? And we took the boat apart ourselves and put it back together, and that was a learning experience as well.
Did you win by a large margin, or was it very close at the finish line?
So the boat that came in behind us was just under 2 hours behind. So after 750 miles, you know, it's a long journey to be that close together. Mm-hmm. We had great competitors out there and really enjoyed the experience of being out there with other wonderful teams that were as committed as we were to this spirit of adventure and competition.
And they got steak knives. But for winning the race, what did the Sail Like a Girl team win?
So the winner of this race receives, $10,000 staked to a log. And that's sort of how the race began, when the race organizers said, what would happen if we stuck $10,000 to a tree in Ketchikan? So we did. We received this log, and I wasn't there for
We tried to deposit it at the bank. They wouldn't take it. But we did find some lumberjacks in town at the Ketchikan Lumberjack Show who helped us out. They approached us first with some axes. And we're like, no, we want to save the log. We just need to get the money out. But they were they put it in a vise and were able to pull it out for us.
And what are you going to use the money for? Are you going to continue the team, invest in your success?
So We've committed to, first we need to cover some of our race expenses, but from the very beginning, this race has always been about something much bigger than us. So the proceeds that we raise beyond those expenses will go to support Pink Boat Regatta. All of us, I would say, have been affected by breast cancer in some way or another, whether it is through family members or close friends. None of us are survivors, but Allison works in breast cancer research and does that work. But we've all been touched by it. And so we carried the messages of women that have been affected. We carried their names with us down below in the boat on the mast, trying to draw strength from them when we were really facing tough times. So donating those additional proceeds to Pink Boat Regatta to support the Breast Cancer Research Foundation was a way that we felt we could honor the fact that this was something well beyond just us.
I'm talking to Jean, Amy, and Allison, three members of the eight-woman team, Sail Like a Girl, that just won the race to Alaska. And if you haven't heard about it, this is an incredibly rigorous trip, 1,100 miles from Port Townsend up to Ketchikan, Alaska. Eight women, some of them not very experienced, kind of jumped in and did it and ended up winning it by 2 hours. What was the toughest part of this trip for you? Was there a moment when you may have lost confidence? You're looking at each other.
I would say, this is Jean. For me, I think the hardest part was actually leaving the dock in Victoria. It was hugging my family and going into the unknown. And there's so much fear in that. But what we did is we supported each other and we had a singular goal of completing this race as safely as we could. So being afraid of that and stepping into it and doing it anyway and doing it deliberately and carefully. And I used to say to the team, it's one lamppost at a time. I'm a terrible runner. It's how I run triathlons. If I can just get to the next lamppost. So, you know, you just set those goals out and the fear kind of goes away over time. We certainly had terrifying moments on the boat out there and things that brought out the best, I think, in each one of us and brought our team really strongly together to bring out the best in the boat. But for me, the scariest moment was leaving Victoria and facing the unknown.
How about you, Amy and Allison? Was there a moment where it was a little scary?
Well, I would say,
or a lot scary.
You know, the unknown, this race, the course of this race is known for having gale force winds. It's very unpredictable and things change in an instant. And so I think, you know, it's that again, the unknown. We had collisions and as you mentioned, wind would come up suddenly. I think though, you know, if I'm to think about one of the moments that was terrifying was probably the last night. As we had hit the log the day before, we weren't sure of the damage to the boat. We knew we weren't taking water on, but we didn't know if there was any structural damage. And we were in some pretty rough seas, and the boat was just slamming down onto the waves. And we were on a three-hour watch schedule, and often you couldn't sleep. This is really a race of sleep deprivation and endurance. So you may have had 2 3-hour blocks in a 24-hour period to sleep, but that didn't mean you got sleep.
Right.
And I had gone down in the middle of the night for a break, took off my wet gear and crawled into the pipe berth. And they're really like little tiny coffins. And I thought,
that's,
you know,
comforting.
Yeah, we're way out at sea. You know, if something goes wrong, the chances of somebody getting to us in time they're not good. And so sort of crawling into that space, holding onto my life jacket, that was, you know, that was a scary moment. I think also, the unexpected. We handled all of it very well, but we were navigating using charts, and sometimes things aren't on the charts, and often sailing in the fog and the dark can be eerie and nerve-wracking.
Sure.
It's dark. You can hear sounds. You can hear boats. You can't see them. We had some fish pens that weren't on the charts show up out of nowhere, these two-story buildings floating in the water, and you know, Jean was driving and she reacted so quickly and was so smart in her reaction. And we tacked away and we got out, but we didn't know how far they stretched and they really went on for a long time. And I think also just the rocks that you're so trying to be so aware, but you're also very sleep deprived.
It might surprise people to know that this award-winning sailing race that you won involved bicycles.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. So as you head north, we've talked about the wind and Mother Nature, you never know what you're going to get. And so when those wind dies and you get into currents, you still have to move forward. You still want to get to that dock in Ketchikan. And so teams do whatever it takes to do that. So that ranges from just stand-up paddleboard oars, putting full-on rowing stations on the boats. And then some boats, like ourselves, have pedal drives. And there's a wide variety of those as well. And so we had two custom-built pedal drives, Access Marine and Hatton Fabrication helped us out with those. And it's crazy because it looks like you've got a recumbent bike and you've got a stand-up, just regular stand-up bike seat. And people are like, what is that thing on the back of that boat? But the thing is it helped us go so much farther, so much faster. I think we spent almost 75 hours, which is about half the time we were out there on those bikes, because we were determined to keep moving forward to our goal in Ketchikan.
Anytime the boat speed dropped below 5 knots, we would jump on the bikes. And there wasn't a set rotation. It was just sort of as long as you could go. As soon as you felt like you needed fresh legs, you'd say tap out and someone else would hop on. But it was also this funny space to be, because it was really like two races. Yeah.
So I got to ask you for a final question here. Is Sail Like a Girl, is your team going to retire as victors? You're going to be back again next year. Going to go for two?
We're really figuring things out right now. We feel like this has become something beyond us, and we want to be good stewards of this message of getting women out there seeking adventure, getting out of their comfort zone, facing leadership opportunities and finding wonderful teams to be a part of. And so there's something that comes next for us, but we are really regrouping as a team and figuring out how we steward that message forward.
Let us know what it is. We'll be
interested
to find out.
Thank you.
Three members of Sail Like a Girl, Amy Fulwell, Allison Ekberg, Devadladze, and Jeannie Gusev, thank you so much for joining us today on The Record. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.